Two Broke Chicks is recorded on Gadigal land of the Eora Nation. We acknowledge Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples as the traditional custodians of our land. Always was, always will be.
Hey chicks, I'm Sal.
And I'm Al.
And this is Two Broke Chicks, the show that shares life lessons because we're broken funds but rich in life. And today we're joined once again by the beautiful, intelligent, fabulous Alexis Fernandez.
Hello. I love this intro, thank you.
Yeah, you're like, that is my official title going forward.
Yes, you did it correctly, yes.
Sal, you just make that your alarm.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the morning.
Every morning you wake up like,
oh. And I'm like,
yeah, yes. Affirmations from Sal.
Do you know what I love is that sound on TikTok? It's like, good morning, you stunning fucking bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, yes. That's my love language. Mm.
Just being like yelled at aggressively.
Yeah, but like what the words are like really nice.
Really sweet.
Yeah.
That's an Aries thing.
Is it?
I think so.
Yeah. I'd say my best friend's an Aries, and that
yeah, it's me. Yeah. I am your best friend.
I am your best friend. I'm a little
But today we've got Alexis on because we're going to be chatting productivity hacks that cost $0 because that's like your bread and butter.
It is. Mm. Yep.
Yeah. So we are so excited. But before we get into it, we love to start our episodes with a life lesson of the week. Mm. So as our guest of honour, would you like to kick us off?
Life lesson of the week. I'm always learning to be more patient. Mm. I'm not actually a patient person at the best of times. I'm just not. But my partner, fiance, we were just talking about this. To call him my fiance. He teaches me a lot of patience, which is great.
Yeah.
Patience in general. I'm a very impatient person, but this week I've just had moments where it's just teaching me that I need to slow down, especially when trying to find a car park.
When you're stuck in the heat of the moment like that, do you have like a hack or a tip to bring you down?
Literally breath work. Because I'm also... Not now. I've definitely gotten better. I've taken a leaf out of my own book or whatever you call it. But I would have like internalized road rage.
Yeah.
I just get so aggressive. And this is probably from when I got my license. I think it was almost like my best friend and I in high school at the time. It was almost like who would be more aggressive.
It's like
a
game.
Yeah. And I'm like, I need to just not be so affected by just people wasting my time.
Totally.
So
this was literally me this morning.
Yeah, exactly.
In my car, literally just like screaming, like shaking my head at people, like, "What are you doing?" I was very late to the podcast this morning. That's
you're like 10 minutes late, and you're having like rage blackouts in traffic.
I don't know how I got from Bondi to here.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
At one point, I fully Regina George screamed in my car.
Oh, I've done that.
It was kind of embarrassing.
I've done that in my
car. But I like actually just screamed.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to let it out.
It felt good.
I know. So you have to let it out. But I realized that, you know how sometimes when you scream with frustration, the same goes for a deep breath. So sometimes like you're so angry, you think you need to scream more. That's where, a lot of people like break something or smash something. It's just kind of like I need a release. But the same thing can be done with like a big breath of air or a couple.
Yeah.
Kind of like just like you're just talking yourself down off the ledge. A lot of those moments this week.
I love that. Yeah. That's a good way to look at it. What's your life lesson, Al?
My life lesson is to get an Alexa because it might save your life.
Yeah.
Because last week I was supposed to be driving down to Wagga on Thursday afternoon to go to my cousin's wedding.
Mm.
And my boyfriend was coming home to drive and we're going to leave on the Thursday night. Anyway, so I was hanging out his shirt for the wedding because I washed it and then I got it dirty. And he does his own washing. Don't think that I do his washing for him. But, like, I was just helping
him. She was going to be home and he was at work.
Home. That's so, yeah. I don't do my boyfriend's washing, don't worry. I would rather kill myself. So I got it dirty, so then I had to wash it again because I was like, fuck. And then so I go on the balcony to hang it up and then I go back inside and I shut the door behind me. Door won't open.
What?
I locked myself out on my balcony.
No.
I had no food. I had no phone. I had no book. I had nothing because the blinds were down. Like one half of the blinds were down. That like the weight on the bottom of blinds, like the little rod thing, got stuck behind the door and had locked me out.
No.
Had locked me out. And for a good 10 minutes, I was like, "Tee hee, this is funny." But then I was like, "Wait, I'm trapped." I was like, because I'm claustrophobic, and you would think that you wouldn't get claustrophobic on a balcony
because you're outdoors.
But it's still like
the confined space.
I can't leave here because I'm on the seventh floor, and I was like, maybe the trees will catch me. But I was like,
oh my god, what the hell do I do?
Because I don't have a phone. I left it inside because I was just popping out to hang out a shirt, and I was like, literally, what the fuck do I do? So I'm sitting here and I was like laying in the sun, but like I wasn't relaxing. And then I was like, oh my God, the Alexa. Because there was an Alexa on the windowsill of like the window that connects to my balcony, but the window is closed. So then I was like, this might not work. And I have screamed, being like, Alexa, call Rob. And it worked.
Oh my God.
Does he pick up his phone? No, because he's a fucking man.
Yeah.
So then I have to call Sal. And then Sal's like, I can't hear you. I'll call you back. And I'm like, no, wait, don't call. And then she hangs up.
Don't do it.
And then she hangs up. And then I try to call her again. And I call my mom. And then I get back onto Sal. And I have to scream through the window, I'm locked on the balcony.
And I'm like, what?
And so
like, I cannot understand what she's saying.
Everyone in fucking Bondi, I can literally hear the people on the balcony above me
just
fucking laughing.
They should have come down and tried to help you.
How? And then
if
mum
the door wasn't locked, maybe.
Was like, I'll call the real estate. And then the apartment was a fucking mess. And I was like, that's how you call the real estate. It was actual chaos. And then my poor boyfriend, because he copped it. He copped it. Wasn't his fault. And he walked in, I was like, why did you pick up your phone? That could have been an emergency, blah, 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 blah. And then, anyway, I'm sorry, just get an Alexa. You never
get
know.
Get an Alexa. Save your life.
Yeah.
It could, though, if you, like, fell and hurt yourself and you weren't in reach of your phone, but you could be like, Alexa, call 000. Like,
I didn't even know that Alexa could call. So that was another life.
Do you know what, though? Alexa thinks her, my Alexa thinks that her name is Alexis. So I'll be on Zoom calls with people and they'll be like, thank you, Alexis. And my Alexa will be like, no problem.
Oh my God.
No.
That's not for you.
Better thanking me.
Those are accolades for me. Thank you. Yes. That was a good impression of Alexa, by the
way. That was very good.
I feel like I could be a voiceover artist.
I think so too.
I was saying this the other day. I was like, I'd love to do that, but no one would want to hear that. Imagine me like reading some smut book to you, being like, he's engorged. Gorged length came out of his pants.
Engorged length.
That's the
you
books
don't
I'm
know.
Reading.
You don't know. Everybody has their own kinks, so,
yeah, exactly.
You know? There would be some niche out there.
I love
would
your
appreciate
voice.
Our Bogan twang.
Great. All right. Smut books, new career move. All right. Exactly. What's yours, Sal?
Okay. My life lesson is actually something that I picked up from our friend Jem Spegg. The host of the Psychology of Your 20s podcast.
Friend of the show, friend of the show.
Friend of the show, friend of the show. And we were in the office together the other day and she was like, oh, I've got to send my message of the day. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she was like,
what are you talking about?
And she was like, oh, my partner and I have been using this app called Agape and it's like a conversation prompt app. And there's all different categories that you can have. So you can do it for like romantic, friends, other. And then within that, there's like niches. So it'll be like deep conversations, like sexual naughty time, whatever. And it, you know, or it will be like daily reminders, daily prompts, randomized. Like there's all different categories. And I was like, I want to try that. That sounds really cool.
Is it Agape or Agape?
Agape.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what? So
it's
then
Greek
you use
for
that,
love or something.
You use that prompt to then message somebody.
Yeah. So then you add your friends on it or your partner or whoever. And then you choose a prompt for the day and it sends them a notification being like, this is your question of the day. They have to respond and you can't read their response until you also respond to them. So like you'll never be left.
So you both have to.
Yeah, you both have to engage in the conversation.
In order to be able to open the other person.
Exactly. That's cool. Yeah. And
I like that because I suck at replying to texts.
Yeah. I mean, it's more so for like meaningful conversations, but it's really like it's such a cute idea.
I love that.
Like I feel like that would be so nice for like long distance friends, especially long distance partners. And yeah, my boyfriend and I, who have been together for over 15 years, I feel like we've talked about every single thing you possibly could talk about.
Yeah. This is done.
Yeah.
Let's wrap this up.
You know, Chris,
we've touched on
everything. I've experienced everything there is to
Chris. We had a good run,
you
kid.
Told me that story before and now it's over.
Dude, I do that with people I met like a week ago.
Yeah.
They'll be like, I can see you on someone's face. And I'm like, oh, I've told you this story.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, but it's okay. And I'm like, fuck
like,
it.
It's okay. It. Tell it again.
Yeah. Like, oh, the chicks are like, you already told us a balcony story, babe. And I'm like, fuck, sorry.
But yeah, so even though we've been together for so long and had like every possible conversation imaginable, I thought within like the couple of days of using it, it's, you know, prompted a few different questions and things that we've never like asked each other. And it was so
That's sweet. Awesome. I really love that. It's free. It's free as well.
Just say. Well, yeah, I'll send you the invite so you can get on it.
Sign up.
Both of you. Mm. And I'll be like, send me affirmations.
I need tell me you love me.
I need aggressive affirmations.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, shall we get in the episode?
Let's do the damn thing. Okay, so Alexis, today we're talking all about productivity, and of course a big blocker to that is procrastination. Mm-hmm. So what's the science behind procrastinating?
So the reason we procrastinate in general is, I mean, it's the initial reason is very obvious. It is to avoid discomfort. Mm-hmm. Some people say, oh, it's like a trauma response. That's bullshit, in my opinion. I just feel like the word trauma is very heavily overused.
Totally.
Like, trauma's a thing for sure, yes. And it might be a response in some people, but people who have experienced no trauma procrastinate all the time.
People will get like cow milk in their oat coffee and be like, I've got trauma.
Yeah. Like I talk about trauma as in when you're joking around like, oh my God, trauma. Yeah. Just like my hair. But in general, like it's not
actually a traumatic experience.
It's not the cause of procrastination. It can contribute to somebody's procrastination, possibly, but that's not the, like, if you procrastinate, doesn't mean that you are a victim of trauma. Mm-hmm. But it does come from this need to avoid discomfort. And it kind of makes sense because the brain just does what we teach it to do. So if we teach it that uncomfortable things are purely just that, uncomfortable, and we're not looking at the bigger picture, we're not looking at instilling habits and all that stuff, then we're always going to be looking at it saying, I could do that, but that equals me getting up, me doing something that I'm not good at doing, me being judged, me putting myself out there. There's all these things that you would put off doing when I could be doing this. So it could be a scary thing or it could just equal discomfort, and we want to put it off until it's just absolutely inevitable or we absolutely have to do it. Because when you've got no option, you've got no option. You do it. Yeah. You know, it's not even a choice anymore. But when you've got the choice, we will choose to do something that will make us feel comfortable. Yeah. You know, the brain's always seeking comfort. And so when you look at procrastination, you've got to find a way to still make your brain realize that doing it now actually will equal comfort. Because if you just think right now, this is discomfort, this is uncomfortable, I'm not going to do it. So that's when you look at like commitment and things like that. You've always got to look at it is everything is a choice until it's no longer a choice. And when you've got the choice to do something, that's when your character really shines through. Because when you have to pull an all-nighter to study for something because your exam's the next day, that's not really a choice. You really, like the only alternative to that was, you know,
failing,
which is, you know, it isn't a choice. So I never look at, oh my God, but I managed to get this done in the last minute. It's like, well, that doesn't really say too much about your character because you aren't in a position where you had no choice. Where it really becomes difficult is when you have to learn to do the uncomfortable things to equal comfort in the future for yourself.
It's like, I like that. It's like discomfort now, but comfort later. It's kind of like if the opening and closing shift.
Yeah.
You might not want to clean up now, but you're going to feel like so much better in the morning.
And for so many things, like if for the most part, if something's easy in the short run as far as a decision that you have to make, it's probably going to equal hardship in the long run. And if something is more difficult in the short run, it's going to equal making your life easier in the long run. So that's kind of how I always look at it when I'm approaching things, even like unloading the dishwasher, which I hate doing.
The worst job ever.
Yeah, I know.
Sometimes I hear like my partner doing it and I'm like, I didn't hear that. I've got no idea. What? Thank you. Oh, that's so nice.
You're like back when you're a little kid, you want your parents to carry you in.
Yeah. Have you seen that thing with people putting like kids' arms up, being like, if their arm stays up, they're asleep? And I'm like, I would have fallen for that shit.
Oh, yeah, totally. I would have fallen for that too. Yeah,
100%. I'd be like, I'm just a sleeping little baby girl. Carry me to bed.
Okay. That's a good one, though.
So we were chatting yesterday about this in Alexis's office.
Yeah.
Why did that like, sound so special, sexual?
Our special professional
work from home day.
Yeah. I'm really trying to sell the audiobook angle. I'm going to sell this to fucking Amazon Audible after this. Like, look, guys, we've got range. So we were chatting about your personal rule on how you won't touch your phone in the morning for at least an hour. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about how your phone affects your ability to get shit done?
Yeah. So, and specifically with phone, like my phone is my alarm. The main thing that I absolutely will not touch is social media, any social media app, emails, and ideally unnecessary text messages. And what I mean by that is if I'm just waking up and going to the gym or whatever, I'm not going to be texting anyone, hard and fast rule. But if I'm meeting my friend for a walk in 30 minutes, of course I'm texting my friend. So it's okay for very relevant to what you're doing things, but absolutely like hard and fast rule, no social media for the first hour on the phone. And the reason for that is when you wake up in the morning, you've got a really good, the highest natural spike of cortisol, which you're supposed to have. So it's not all bad. It's only bad when it's in excess and when it's late at night. But you get this nice kind of spike of cortisol. You get through getting outside, being in the sun, starting to move your body, you're getting this nice release of dopamine in like a slower form release. And it's a really good way to set you up to feel better. It sets your mood. It's exactly how the brain is supposed to work. The problem is when we seek these like instant gratification or like hits of dopamine seeking behaviors, when we do these things, then you're already starting your day with dopamine dropping below your baseline level. So we all have a baseline. If you do things that will increase dopamine, quote unquote, naturally or, you know, slowly, it's normally things you have to earn. So exercise, connection with somebody, achieving a small task, doing things like that, that's going to increase your levels of dopamine, ice baths, saunas, all of that.
Yeah.
Doing something like any addictive behavior, whether it be a chemical addiction, caffeine is different, so I'll talk about that later, but whether it be like a drug for some people or gambling or in this case, social media, you're getting a spike of dopamine. And then because it was such a quick hit and you didn't have to work for it, it then will plummet below what your normal baseline is. And you want to look at dopamine as your willingness to do something.
Yeah.
So if dopamine is your willingness to do something and you've just gone and went bang up and bang down, then getting out of bed, you're even less willing to get out of bed than if you didn't check your phone. You're less willing to, now decisions become a little bit more foggy. It's not as clear to make a decision. You're in the wardrobe. What am I going to wear?
These
bits is fog. Yeah. And so then what do? I feel flat. I want to feel good. Bang, I reach my phone again. And then that's why sometimes you'll be sitting there and you've just put your phone away and you don't even and before you know it, it's in your hand, you're unlocking it.
Yeah, it's like muscle memory.
And I still do that. It's not that it doesn't happen to me now. It happens to me all the time. And because of that, it's kind of like I've got to work with what I know. And I know that I'm going to do that. So I've got to maximize my mornings where my decision-making quota is at its highest, where, you know, my willingness to do something is relatively high. And so the beauty of that for myself and for a lot of people as well is when you do limit your social media time in the mornings, then when you do go on social media, your morning's already been more meaningful. It's had more purpose. You've done things that really contribute to you feeling good. That by the time you do get on your phone, you're a bit more, not for everyone, but for me, you're a bit more purposeful with how you use your social media. You go on it, you do what you need to do, but you're not, oh my God, I feel so flat. I need this. You already feel a bit better. So
that makes so much sense. Because the amount of times that I've woken up being like, yeah, I'll go to the gym. And then I check my phone and then I blink and it's like 45 minutes later. And I'm like, oh, I don't really feel like it now.
Totally.
Like
that just, it just sucked into a vacuum.
Yeah. How do you feel, how do you go about that? Because I feel like that would be quite tricky to not go fall into that muscle memory.
Yes.
Do you put your phone in another room or have you built like up the habit to not reach for it?
Yeah, especially if it's your alarm.
Yeah. So I keep my phone, because it's my alarm, I have it on my bedside table. I think a really good way that I've kind of built that is by instilling like a really basic but very repetitive morning routine.
Yeah.
So that way, and it's like everything has to hit a time that you're doing it. And it's obviously hard at the start when you first start doing a routine, but you can always – so if you're someone that wakes up at 8 and you want to wake up at 6, the thought of waking up at 6 is going to be really intense for a lot of people, or 5 o'clock or whatever. So you just – you shift. You're just shifting the needle until you get to that sweet spot. But for me, the reason I'm not checking my phone is most mornings I have to get up – well, I don't have to. I get up, you know, I drink my water, I have a meditation, and then I'm at the gym. So really, if I was to break that up and waste time doing something else, then I wouldn't have been able to go and do that thing that I wanted to do. Another good thing about it is – if I was to say, I'm not going on my phone for 30 days, it's really unrealistic. And then I just keep putting it off. I'll start tomorrow. But because I'm like, I'm not restricting myself. I can have my phone, just not right now. I can have it a bit later. It's delayed gratification. So it doesn't make it this like forbidden, untouchable thing. It's like, not only do I have to manage my time, because people talk about time management all the time, but we don't talk about attention management.
Ooh.
And attention management is way more important than time management. Because I could, if I manage my attention properly, I could do just as much in half the time, you know. So we'll, you know, when I do move my phone away from where I'm at is when I do time blocking, when I'm writing a book, when I'm really like, when I need high focus, I will set a 40-minute timer on my phone, but then I'll move my phone away, which stops me from that subconscious reaching.
Pick up, yeah.
Because the moment I go to reach for it, it's like your arm almost – and then you're aware and then you settle back in. You're like, nah. And then the more you do that, just this noting of your behavior, the less you do it. Like when people have a habit and they flick their a band on their wrist, it's just this – you've brought your conscious mind into a subconscious behavior and it helps kind of stop it.
Yeah.
I feel like that would feel good.
Yeah.
Like that little elastic band flick. You're like,
I'll just do this even more.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah.
I would get addicted to that. I wouldn't be allowed.
And then you need another thing to stop that behavior.
Then I put it on my fucking toe. Yeah. And I'll be like, shit.
It's a vicious cycle. What are some other affordable ways that you can change up your routine to make it more productive?
Okay, so we were actually talking about this just yesterday, but I was saying that what's really exciting for probably everyone listening is that where you are right now, you could make your life already 50%, 100% for some people, 500% better just with the tools that you have at your disposal already. So sometimes we'll look at our life and we think, when I get this, then I can have this. And when I get this, then I'll feel this way. And when, and if this happened, and if I was making more money, which is true. Resources definitely help you go further. That's all true. But we're taking for granted or ignoring the amount of resources that we have already at our disposal. And that is things like, number one thing that will actually change your life is so boring, but it's a habit, you know, a ritual in your day. And it doesn't have to be in the morning, although morning is the most elite time to do it
because
you set your day up.
Yeah.
But you can also have mini habits throughout the day. You know, a mini habit could be, okay, if I'm going to brush my teeth, then there's a series of events that happens after I brush my teeth and it's in the same order every night. So then instead of like brushing my teeth, fucking around, looking, and then it's like 30 minutes before, it's like, no, I brush my teeth, I bang, bang, bang. It's like a set routine.
Yeah.
Or if when I take my clothes off, I fold it and put it away instead of dumping it on the floor, which is something that surprisingly I've only started to instill in the last year.
I'm yet to instill.
It's crazy how much time it saves you, you know.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Instead of having to redo your wardrobe every week, you're doing it once every 3 months now.
All that like, you know, washing basket that's been in the corner for 2 weeks keeps being like, you're a failure.
Exactly.
Quiet, you pack down.
No, I was talking to you.
Yeah. So I would definitely say, two things I would say is, number one, the best way to start a habit is just find two behaviors that you can tack onto each other and do it every time you do it, do both of them together. That's the start of a habit, because then you could, or a routine if you like, because then you can start making it longer, 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 whatever works for you. And everybody's different. Some people have, so I interviewed this guy, he's in the States, he's a therapist in the States, and his routine was so vastly different from mine, but it just, what he said, he rolls out of bed. So I'm like, bed, you know, wash my face, meditate, gym. He rolls out of bed. He says he doesn't even wash his face. He just gets himself to a cafe across the road, right? And then from there, he does 2 hours of writing.
Wow.
Without bed. He hasn't even washed his face. He just gets the coffee, bang, 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 bang.
Wow.
I've got to fuck around for at least an hour before I get to a cafe.
You are sitting at a cafe and you haven't even put water on your face. I find that, and I loved it because it's like, I do that. Then I come home, and then he's got this complete, but it works for him. So when you hear about routines, you don't have to imitate someone else's routine. Do what works for you. Work with what you've got.
Work with what the baseline is. But use it.
Yeah. Because sometimes we think, oh, but I'm, you know, I could never do that. I could never do that. Maybe not. But you could do more than what you're doing now already with what you've got. You've just got to, like, package it differently.
Yeah.
When I started packaging my attention and my time and my mornings differently, it transformed how focused I was, how I could stay on task for longer, how I could just get more things done. Because there'd be many days, even to this day, there are days where I'm with no creativity, I've got no focus, I've got nothing. But because you're hitting that target most days, then when you have a day like that, you don't feel bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I try and hit, like, my I've got a really laxed hit rate. I try and do a 70% hit rate. If I'm doing what I want to be doing 70% of the time, then the days where I'm just not showing up, I've got nothing to give, I don't even feel guilty because I'm like, that is okay. This falls into the 30% category. Yeah. So I've factored in failure.
I like that because I think we have to be productive all the time. Mm.
All the
that
time.
You feel guilty when you're resting, which you're not resting if you're feeling guilty
for
it.
You have to factor in failure. You look at so much in our life, so much in our reality already has failure factored into it. We have 12 demerit points. When you go for your license, you can have X amount to fail. To get a degree, you don't have to get 100%.
Yeah.
Failure is factored into everything, but we don't do it for ourselves.
Give your life some demerit points.
Exactly.
Literally.
Exactly. And it's part of it. So when I look at it, and you could look at it from a food perspective, from a how much do I have to give today perspective, if you have like, I'm going to give it this much, but I have already factored this, then there's no guilt. And the thing is, when you remove this guilt towards what you've done in your productivity, you're going to be more productive in the future. Because one of the things that really holds us back is this, how we speak to ourselves, this language to ourselves, how we respect ourselves. So if you're saying, I'm a fucking idiot, I'm a failure, I'm going to start from zero, I've got to start again from the beginning because I didn't, then when you approach a task, you feel a little bit like your self-esteem towards that thing is a little bit lower. You just don't feel as good within yourself.
Yeah.
But if you feel like I'm on my side, we're a team, me and this, you know, whoever, like the physical and the mind and whatever, it's a team and we work with each other.
I love that.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's so true because I would suck at taking supplements. Like I would never take my iron and get a blood test. And they're like, how are you standing up? And I was like, I don't know. Like, you tell me, duck.
Literally.
And then I just put them next to my coffee machine because I have a coffee every morning because I need that sweet bean juice to make me go. And because it's there, when I'm waiting for the coffee machine to do its thing, I just take the vitamins because I'm there.
Yeah,
exactly.
And literally, and then I went and had a blood test recently, and she's like, and I was being like, how low is my iron? Like, I know, how am I standing up?
Yeah.
She's like, no, your iron's good. And I was like, oh.
You're like, shit.
But it is. You've just tagged on two things. And if you're like, well, I don't know what I can tag on, think about a behavior that's absolutely inevitable that you're going to do. Yours is coffee. For a lot of people, it'd be coffee.
Yeah.
One could be, okay, where do I put my keys for my car? And then what could I have there that I have to do before? Like, it could be anything, but.
Or like putting your toothbrush in the shower.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And then the more you start doing these things, the more you start remembering things more. You start being more in tune. You know, you have to look at your brain as not working against you. Just look at your brain. It's doing what I've trained it to do.
If anything, we work against our brain.
Exactly.
Our brain's like, please.
It's
like you feel bad when you pick up that little brick, put it away, and you're like, TikTok.
Honestly. And if you're always like, oh, I have to do this thing, oh, I have to do this thing, your brain's learning, avoid.
Oh, true.
And then when you go and do it, your brain's like, no, but you've avoided it so many times. Why are we doing it now?
Yeah.
Like, stop, avoid again. Brain loves patterns, loves repetitive everything.
Good or bad.
Good or bad. It's just going to do what you taught it to do. That's all.
True.
That's all your brain does.
Fuck shit, so it's my fault? God, Alexis, don't you know that I'm never at fault for anything in my life? Didn't anyone tell you?
Yeah, shit, I thought we briefed you before this.
I am the victim here.
But the other thing that I think was interesting, again, that we were talking about yesterday because we're best friends and we hang out all the time, is... Does money equal motivation? Do you need to spend money in order to motivate yourself?
Really interesting about motivation and money or gains or losses, if you want to look at it that way, is that we are a lot more motivated to not lose something. So the thought of a loss, like retaining something, we're motivated way more towards that than the prospect of gaining something.
Mm.
So, for example, if I... said to you, if you do this thing for, a week straight, I'll give you $100. You would think that would motivate you. unless we're talking like obscene amounts of money, like $1 million, of course you're going to do it. But in general, you know, $100. But then if we did the equivalent of you pay me $100. And if you get that thing done, I'll return the $100 to you. You're more likely to do it.
It's so
because
wild.
You're like, I don't want to lose the $100 that I've, this is my money. And I've, now you're holding it. And if I don't follow through, it's kind of like with fitness classes. We were talking about if you pay a membership for unlimited whatever with no penalties for a year, people say, oh, but it's going to motivate me. Sometimes it motivates people, but a lot of the time people are like, oh my God, I've been paying this gym membership, for example, a gym membership, I've been paying the same thing week in, week out, and that hasn't motivated me. But the difference is if you were to pay this membership, right, and you'd booked into a class, and then if you don't go to the class that you've already booked into, you get a $20 penalty, then people are more likely to stick that out. Because if it's like, if I pay $30 for the gym for unlimited, and whether I go or whether I don't go, it's still $30. It doesn't really feel like a loss to me. I've made that commitment regardless of whether I go. But if I, on top of that, it's another $20 for not rocking up, I'm going to this class, you know? And we're always more motivated towards loss aversion. We hate to lose. And so.
It's true.
Yeah. And so it's good to use that to your advantage, because what you could do, especially if it's financial, you could say to your friend or whatever, but you got to really like stick it out. You can't be like, I actually need that money. Give it back to me.
Like, like babe, can't pay my rent. Can't pay $20.
Give money to your friend or whatever and say, because instead of saying, oh, if I don't follow through, I'll pay you this. Your friend's not going to hold a gun to your head and say, now you're back at pay. Like they're not. They're not chasing you down for that money.
I'm sorry. Now I've got to break your kneecap
You're there with a crumb like, I don't want to do this, but I have to. Meanwhile, you've got a smile like ear to ear.
But you didn't take your vitamins.
But you didn't take your iron supplements.
Yeah, so now you go absolutely violent. But you could say, if I don't follow through with this, I want you to give that money to then some cause that you hate. You know?
You could get me to do anything.
Grind your gears. Yeah. Think of the worst thing you would donate money to. A political campaign. Like
Donald Trump or something.
Yeah. Like just think of the worst and say to your friend, hold those funds. If I don't follow through, donate it to that.
Oh,
yeah. And then you have contributed to that thing. Yeah, it's great.
If I was that friend, I wouldn't donate it. I would just keep it.
I'd
be like, yeah, I donated it. Because one, I don't want that organization to get it. And two, I'm better than Donald Trump. So, you know, I'd tell them I did, but I'd just keep it.
You're just making a profit.
Oh, well, no one's going to know. So y'all don't give me money.
Yeah, exactly. Just make up like a fake invoice on Canva or something. Like, I did it. Pauline Hanson just got me $50, babe.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Her Glebe stall. Her Glebe market stall. Pauline's Glebe market stall. Spent it there. Sorry.
Spent all the money there.
That'll
be a shit stall. Anyway.
Moving on. So how can you actually make yourself do things that you want to do but you don't want to do at the same time? So, for example, you want to get up early to go to the gym, but you know that when the alarm goes off in the morning,
you just snooze it.
You just snooze it, and like, it's like you're a different person when you go to bed versus when you wake up.
I'm gonna run a marathon tomorrow morning, and then the morning comes, and you're like, oh, my legs are broken.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there's two things. The first one is you always have to look at discomfort is inevitable. You just choose your discomfort. Okay. Am I gonna have the discomfort of getting up now and going to the gym? Or am I going to have the probably worst discomfort of in a week's time being like, I could have done it, but I didn't.
Yeah.
And I'm annoyed at myself. So but there's always a discomfort. Or I'm not recovering as fast. I had a trip, but had I been like exercising regularly, I probably would have healed faster and I would have recovered better, would have been healthier. There's always a discomfort. There's the discomfort of not having the life you want. And there's the discomfort of action now. You choose. It's up to you. No judgment, no shame, but it's a choice. So you're like, which discomfort am I choosing? That's number one. And the second one is stop thinking that your future self is this amazing, motivated version of you that's got something that you don't have right now. Whoever you are right now is who the you of tomorrow will be. So when you set yourself a goal, when you set yourself a task, set it when it's the hardest to set it. So I always use my... Sorry, Mum, as an example. I always use my mum and my aunties because they always are like, we need to eat less sugar because they love cake, love coffee and cake.
Preach, Mum.
Couldn't agree more. I also love cake. But they would, they will go to a cafe, buy this hectic piece of cake, share, oh, ha ha, eat it, eat it, eat it, be full. And they're like, right, after they've eaten the cake, right, 1 week, no sugar, no sugar, 1 week. I'm like, you've just made that promise to yourself at the easiest possible time. It's like when you wake up hungover, dying, you're like, that's it, I'm not drinking for 2 weeks. Of course, yeah. Try saying that on a Friday night with a cocktail right in front of you. I'm not drinking
Alexis,
for 2 weeks.
Lower your voice. Alexis,
like, don't talk to me. Which is fine. But the beauty of that is then you learn how to structure a realistic goal for yourself. Because I'm all for, like, aiming super high.
Yeah.
But you've also got, it's got to be align with your lifestyle. Mm. You also don't want to be a martyr and suffer day in, day out. We're here to enjoy our life as well. So if you are sitting in front of a cocktail right now, it's a, you know, Friday afternoon, you could say, okay, realistically, I would love to have that drink. I love socializing. I love these, all these things about my lifestyle that I really enjoy. So to now make this ridiculous statement of, I'm not doing this for another month when it's, I really enjoy it.
Mm.
That's unrealistic. It's realistic when I'm hungover, but right now it's unrealistic. Yeah. So how would I structure it differently? Can I maybe say, okay, I'm only going to drink twice a week? Or can I say, you know, like, you always have to think about how can I structure the goals when it's the hardest to do it?
Yeah.
Because the you of tomorrow, the you of next week, unless you are able to make the changes now, it's no different to who you are right now. That person doesn't have more self-control than you. That person doesn't have this wave of motivation and drive that's never ending that can do. We always put off things for our future self, thinking that there's a version of ourselves out there that's willing to do what we're not willing to do.
Mm.
It's me. It's you. Like, it's that same person. Why would that me in the future be more likely to do this thing that I'm not going to do now?
Yeah. Mm.
There's no reason. So another good thing is, can you take some of the responsibility of your future self and do it right now to help your future self? So let's say we're doing the morning thing. Okay, I really want to get up early in the morning. Okay, what can I do right now to really help my future self? Because the future self is me and I don't want to do it. So what can I do right now? And if I'm willing to take action now, then I'm more willing to take action tomorrow morning. So I'm going to get my outfit ready. I'm going to get my sneakers, my socks, my outfit. I'm going to have the keys by the door. I'm going to have the cup ready for the coffee. I'm going to have it all ready to go. Mm-hmm. I'm going to set my alarm on my phone and move it a little bit further away from the bed. Big glass of water. It is so ready.
Go. I'm so pumped. I'm hyped now.
Yeah. And then by the time you get up, you're like, I've made it so easy for myself. Yeah. I've already done half of this. I don't have to think.
Yeah.
Clothes on, coffee, I'm out the door.
I think that makes so much sense.
Yeah. So it's thinking, but if you're sitting there saying, oh, but I'll do it in the morning, then the chances of you doing it in the morning are really low. Because if I'm not willing to do it now, I'm definitely not willing to do it.
Yeah, not when you're half asleep. Because that's the hardest battle, is actually getting up and getting out of bed. Once you've stepped out of bed and put your clothes on, you're not going to be like, fuck this, I'm not going. Yeah. Like, you're going once you've got your activewear and your
one
shoes on.
One tip that we got shared with a life coach that once came and spoke at, like, our old workplace was, when there's things you don't want to do, set a 10-minute timer.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And when the 10 minutes stops, you can stop.
Yep.
Like, you're allowed to.
Yeah.
But when you put your clothes on and you're in the car, you're not going to turn around and go home, are you? Like,
totally.
If you're on your way to the gym, that's just one example. You can totally use it for cleaning your room. And sometimes I'll do it and I will be cleaning, and then the 10 minutes happens and I'm like, yeah, I am done. I don't want to do it anymore.
100%.
But I would say 90% of the time
you go further.
Yeah. It just, it works. And I love it.
Because the hardest thing is gaining momentum to do something. Yeah. Once the momentum is there, it's actually fine.
You're off like a rocket.
When I was like writing my books, I would sometimes be like, I don't really have anything to give. But I'm like, but if I just sit there for the hour, even if it's garbage, I'm putting something down. I'm putting ideas down. Some days I'm going to be flying through. Some days I've got not much. Mm. But I'm setting the timer. And like you said, more often than not, I would set 30 minutes and I'd end up being there for 2 hours. Yeah. Not every time. Sometimes I'd be like, yeah, that's literally all I've got.
Yeah,
I did it. See ya. But more often than not, you do more.
Yeah.
And you also want to look at emotions and feelings and what we're experiencing as nothing, not even heartbreak, not even loss. No intense emotion can be sustained constantly, always.
Mm.
We go through waves. Things come in waves. So including the discomfort of waking up in the morning, that is a very short-lived wave of discomfort. Very, very, very short-lived.
It's true.
You know, so most of these waves last around like a couple of minutes max. Mm. But waking up for me is a minute, if that, if you get out of bed straight away.
You have to, hey. You otherwise, know? You're just like Homer and he's like that toasty little cinnamon bun photo. Just me.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
And then the problem is if you then slip, because if you wake up in the morning, you're most likely to wake up around the time that you're in like a REM sleep. And REM sleep stage, this is why we remember our dreams so easily, because you've woken up in your dream state. And REM sleep is the closest to waking as far as brain waves go. So when you wake up, most of the people are going to be waking up in the REM sleep unless you had really poor quality sleep and you're just in a different stage of your sleep. That's the time to get out of bed, because if you then drift back off to sleep, you then risk falling into a deeper stages of sleep again. And then to pull yourself out of that, that's why then you're like snooze, 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 snooze after the first snooze. The first snooze never works. No. So there's no point. Like you either snooze 10 times or you don't snooze at all. Yeah. Like you pick and your poison. What's it going to be?
And then you get that jolt being like, fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you've just got to think, okay, I need to, and don't get me wrong, I still snooze, not Monday to Friday, but I'll snooze on a weekend being like, honestly, this is ridiculous. I'm not going back to sleep. It's my weekend, whatever. You know, so it's not like I never snooze anymore. No, I definitely do. Or if I've had really poor sleep, there are times where I'd have really bad sleep and my routine will go out the window, because I think right now I know how poor quality my sleep was. I value rest over working out. I'm just going to not do it. So again, this is the 70-30 thing. It's not like I'm, you know, it's just that most of the time I'm doing X, you know, and then it factors in for when you're not feeling well, for when you're tired, when you need that downtime, when whatever. But yeah, so when you do get up in that REM state, stay up, just stay up, because you're more likely to feel a lot more alert after a couple of minutes. But if you wake up in like a stage 2 or 3 of your sleep, or deep sleep, it takes like 30 minutes to feel alert.
Wow. Yeah, far out.
Get your ass up and work. It's like nobody wants to work these days. Okay, Kim, I'm going to set that as my alarm. No, I'm going to set the good morning, you stony fucking bitch. And I'm like, yes! Could kick a door off its hinges.
You just record all your friends' voices. Just a like motivating you to get up.
But if it was Sal, I'd be like,
I'm like, bitch, I know you don't care.
Sal would be like, good morning, princess. It would be. That's how she comes and wakes me up. That's, and I get the tiniest little like cup of a hand being like, morning, just stroking me.
You need those waving cats to like tap your hand.
That is Sal waking me up. Yeah. Whereas like me waking Sal up is I go and get in bed with her and become the big spoon and go back to sleep.
That's cute.
And then Sal wakes up and she's like, Alex! And I'm like, I'm like, see? I'm like, what? But the one thing I do think is we can sometimes overlook our productivity. Mm-hmm. Like you get to the end of a work day and you're like, I was at my desk all day, or I was working all day, or I did lots today, but I can't think of anything that I actually did, or I can't think of anything I achieved. And I think it would be really helpful to know some ways that we can be a bit more mindful and a bit more conscious of our productivity. Like how can we kind of keep track on that, so we're getting that dopamine hit and we're feeling good about it, which is going to make us do it more.
Yeah. Well, a big reason why a lot of people feel that way is because we have a really skewed perception on, we'll prioritize everything that's quote unquote urgent, and we put way too many things in the urgent part. There's actually not as many, when you look at what's really urgent, we put way too much in that urgent.
Yeah.
This needs to be done first. And all the important things come last. So you'll do a whole day doing things that are quote unquote urgent, putting out small fires, putting out tiny fires,
sending that one marketing email that really doesn't matter.
And the day gets done. You've done stuff, but the reason it doesn't feel like you've accomplished anything is because you've not hit that stuff that works for your soul. You've not worked towards that thing that matters to you, that's important to you as an individual. So it feels really unfulfilling. So you've got to find a way, and this might not be able to happen in your work hours. Everyone is different. Some people get this at work, some people get it outside of work, but you've got to find a way to, even if just for a small amount of time, firstly, you want to categorize all the things that you have to do, which one of those are legitimately urgent, like actually time crunch, if this doesn't happen, then it'll never happen or I lose the opportunity. Mm-hmm. Legitimately urgent. Then you've got to put in the things what are actually important to me. And I always try and spend some time every morning at the start of the morning, even if it's 20 minutes, working on something that's really important to me, really matters to me. Some people will have more time, some people have less, depends on your day. But if you end the day and be like, I've done nothing. Like if you guys wanted to start this podcast, right? But every day you'd get to the end of the day and it's still just this pipe dream, pipe dream. You're going to be feeling a bit like, oh, what did I do? What have we done all day? What have we done? You were still working. You were still doing stuff, but you'd feel very unproductive because you weren't tapping into that thing that really mattered to you that you really wanted to do. So the same goes for anyone that's wanting to do something, whether it's a hobby or whether it's career related. You've got to find a way to feed that every day and then you will feel accomplished. You know, because you've always got to work on your growth every day. They're like the three pillars of happiness. I talk about growth, connection, and purpose. And growth is a huge one. And if you do something for your growth every day, you will at the end of the day be like, okay, that was boring, but I got this done. And I'm really proud of myself. And I feel like I've changed, I've grown, I've learned something new. And then the next day you just build on that.
Yeah. Because it is like you need to break it down into those small things every day. Otherwise it's just impossible to achieve anything.
Totally.
Oh, yeah. And as soon as you write a to-do list, your day just becomes so much easier and it goes really fast.
And coming back to productivity, when you write a to-do list, most people, I am guilty of this as well. Most people will do the really short, easy tasks first, right? Because I love to cross out. I like a handwritten to-do list. Yes. So satisfying. Oh, like I love
colouring
it.
In the little
and
box.
And because you want to do that, you're like, that's 10 minutes, that's 10 minutes, that's 10 minutes. Okay, quick. I'll go bang, 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 bang. Yep. I'm doing all these short jobs, this, reply to this. Okay, now let's sit down and do this bigger, important task. I might go to that cafe and get a coffee before I settle, before I settle in. And then you go to settle in and then someone's like, oh, I need this from you. I need this. Never happens. So you think, okay, it's the start of the day. I've got 30 minutes. Can I do 30 minutes of this brainstorming for this thing I'm so passionate about? Bang. And all these 10-minute tasks, they're going to get done. I can slot them in between bigger tasks. Like when I time block, I'll set 40 minutes to do something and 20 minutes off. And the 20 minutes off could be scrolling on social media. It could be watching TV. Or sometimes I just break the circuit and do something different. I'll clean, I'll prep, I'll do something completely different and then back to the high focus tasks. Mm-hmm. But you got to think, if this is high focused, I can't have a high focused 8-hour day. That's not possible.
Yeah.
No one sustains focus that long. So how can I break it up that my high focused moments are when I'm normally most focused, which is for a lot of people, it's in the morning. And then a lot of people, if you do get rest in the afternoon, they'll get a second wave in the evening. But it's normally like first thing in the morning or quite late at night. And people, my ADHD people out there, very often it's late at night for people with ADHD.
Yeah. And they get the 3 p.m. slump.
Yes.
But I feel like that's everyone too.
Yeah. But yeah, that's because if you're circadian rhythm, there's always going to be a slump at 3 p.m.
I hate it. What are you supposed to do at that time?
Nap.
Like, honestly.
Have a nap.
Literally, I go have a Maz and then I have a nap.
I'm a huge fan of nap. Have a caffeine
drawer.
Have a caffeine nap.
Yeah, literally.
Okay, so we have covered a lot today, but we always love to wrap our episodes with this question. So what's the biggest life lesson for you for creating a more productive lifestyle?
Oh, there's just so many. I'm just trying to do
pressure's on.
How do I break it down into one? Look, when it comes to your productivity, the biggest life lesson is, this is actually a quote from Tony Robbins that I really liked. And he said to someone, it was like, I think on one of his TV shows on Netflix, he said to someone, you overestimate what you can do in a year, but you underestimate what you can do in 10. Mm. We expect so much from ourselves in such a short amount of time, and that actually can be damaging to our relationship with ourselves, because then when we don't achieve it, we're like, I'm a failure. Mm. But you're not a failure. You set yourself up to fail because you set the bar so high for a short time frame. Instead of set the bar high, but allow for progress, allow for things to unfold, allow for things to develop at the cadence that they're supposed to develop at. If you then say, I've got to do all of this and I have to do it now, and then you don't achieve it, you think, well, I'm obviously a failure. Look at all these times I've failed.
Yeah.
I'm not going to try again. I. And then your relationship with yourself starts to crack, you know. So if you then think, okay, I'm going to take this goal and I'm going to stretch it out, stretch out the time, you're more likely to not only achieve it, but you're also more likely for it to become a permanent fixture in your life forever. That's why crash diets never work. They're horrible. They're painful. Everything about it's horrible. And then when you achieve it, you never stick to it because it's just completely unsustainable. And then you say, oh, I failed. No, you didn't. You just put yourself through torture and now you're not being tortured. You know, so it's, you got to look at that with every goal. How can I do this being my friend? Because being mean to myself hasn't worked, clearly. Mm-hmm. So how can I turn it around and, you know, not make the time thing such don't fixate on when it's going to be done, because that's can be your biggest enemy. Just fixate on, can I implement this tiny change? Yes, I've done it for 5 days now. Now I can implement this and then can I add this. And in 1 year, a lot of people, like New Year's resolutions, we want to, by the end of January, all these things. It's like, no. Just think, where could I be if I implemented just these 5 things in my day in 1 year? And a lot of people are like, oh, that's boring. I want to do it sooner. No. Just give yourself a year and you'll be amazed that in a year, you'll probably be doing 15 things, not five. But it's this idea of, I just want to make it permanent.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be patient with myself. Patience. What were we talking about? Patience. And then that's actually what makes it permanent. So, yeah, that's a bit of a long-winded.
No, I like that. I really like that you underestimate what you can do in 10 days, but you overestimate what you can do in a year.
I've
never done that ever.
Yeah.
I'm perfect.
Yeah, totally.
I am the best.
That's a good reminder as well, because nobody expects you to do these things by this deadline.
No.
You're just putting this expectation on yourself. Nobody else is asking you. Nobody's going to be waiting there being like,
yep.
Oh,
exactly.
Shit. It's sour with a crowbar.
Crowbar's out. I'm exactly. By December 31st, you said. Like, nobody else is putting that pressure on you.
Yeah.
So you can also take that pressure off.
Totally. And then also a little piece of advice. If you really want to make change, and there's all these studies that back this, which I love. If you really want to make permanent, lasting, if you want to do something in your life, normally we'll tell everyone that we're doing something to get like the accolades and to get this and to get
that.
The more people you tell, the less likely you're actually going to follow through with doing that thing, which is wild. And it's because one of the reasons why we do all of these things is to feel certain emotions. We want to feel accomplished. We want to feel really good. We're doing this because we want a feeling. We're chasing a feeling, which is great. That's why we do anything in our life. But if you start telling somebody, if I tell you I'm going to run a marathon this year. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it. It's happening. It's definitely happening. I'm running it. Haven't even started training. You're then like, babe, that's so amazing. Yeah. Oh, my God. You're a babe. Oh, my God. That's fucking epic.
And you're like, woo.
And then I'm like, that felt so
run
good.
Run is hard. So
yeah. And
just sitting there.
Literally. And then you before you know it, you've told everyone. You've felt all the feelings. And then you're like, now I actually have to fucking run this thing and I don't want to and I've already felt I got all the congratulations and the accolades now I've got to do it and I don't want to do it
because
I feel flat. So I always say the more you want something, the less people you tell, unless they're completely relevant to it, like you know, directly involved. Keep it to yourself and think, if the only way that I can show people that I've done something is through my actions, what would my actions look like?
Ooh, I love that. That's a great place to finish up on, I think.
But before we let you go, where can the chicks find you and learn more about you?
Yes, I've got a podcast called Do You Fucking Mind?
Of course you do. I love the name. It's the best.
I know. We've hit some roadblocks with that, with like sponsors and stuff. But I'm like, I can't change it.
Take it or leave it, babe.
You don't want to work with those nerds anyway.
Fucking nerd.
Loser.
Loser. Yeah.
Imagine if it's like, do you freaking mind?
Do you freaking mind? Yeah, can you imagine? Imagine.
It's freaking cute. Sorry.
Yeah, but sometimes it has to be like F asterisk, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then I've got my books. I've got Be Bold, and then I've got The Neuroscience of Self-Love.
Which are both amazing.
Yeah,
big fans.
We'll put links to everything in the show notes as usual so the chicks can find it. But thank you so much for coming on.
Thank
I feel like we
you,
could
girls.
Have you on every bloody week. I know. And we wouldn't get enough.
We're I know, so I just love our chats.
yeah, so we'll definitely thank have you. To have you on again.
Definitely.
Yeah, I need you anytime. To be my alarm. That's yeah. Like, get up, bitch.
I'll call you. Get up, guys.
Yeah, please. I'll be like,
a subscription.
Yeah. You should sell that.
Oh, my God. That's such a good idea.
You should sell that as like little
a personalized
motivation
me, like, excuse me. Yeah.
Oh my God. Cameos.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll play that every morning.
Yeah, yep. Perfect.
I love
We'd
that.
Be your first
An
customers.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love that.
Well, thank you so much for joining
thanks
us.
For having
and thank you to you chicks for having us in your ear holes. We absolutely love to be here.
We love it. And thank you to MIK Made for making today's episode happen.
Woo!
Bye, chicks.